snowstorm in the Northeast brings transit to a standstill on one of the busiest travel days of the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Maybe you didn't want to go to work this morning after the Christmas weekend. Well, if you live in, let's say, the Carolinas to Maine, maybe you won't have to. Or maybe you can't because of that monster blizzard. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is live with us this morning on the Blizzard Beat. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So we haven't gotten any cost estimates yet in terms of actual damage to homes or businesses, but how is this big, giant storm impacting transportation?
Well, the New York airports have all been closed. That's more than 1,400 flights canceled just out of those airports. Amtrak canceled train service from New York right up to Maine. Long Island Railroad, that's the nation's biggest commuter rail system, was also offline.
Well, obviously, Mitchell, this couldn't come at a worse time because these are some of the busiest travel days of the year. But we do get these storms just about every year. Is there anything that could be done to the infrastructure in the busy Northeast Corridor to avoid this kind of standstill?
Well, Jeremy, I'm not a meteorologist. I don't even play one on TV or the radio. But look, these conditions are definitely extreme. In a lot of places, there's been zero visibility. They're talking about snowdrifts in the feet. And powerful winds. That said, you know, European airports have also been paralyzed by snow recently. Larry Price is an airline analyst in London, and he told me there are similarities.
All those New York area airports are either at, or dare I say it, over reasonable capacity. If you then interject any form of weather event into that, such as fog, heavy rain, and particularly snow and ice, what you do is turn an already difficult situation into an almost impossible one.
And by the way, Jeremy, I've covered storms like this when I was a Cub reporter in Connecticut. I don't know, I got to work somehow in my Jeep, but it wasn't pretty.
Well, you're luckily far away from the whole thing out there in Portland,
yes,
Oregon. Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, that blizzard has helped oil prices reach a two-year high. Cold weather forces people to use energy to heat their homes, which drives up prices. But as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, there are other forces sending the price of oil skyward.
Ministers from the OPEC oil cartel met in Cairo this weekend, and they sent a pretty clear message to the market. They do not intend to pump more oil to increase supply and bring down the price of crude. The Kuwaiti oil minister said he thought $100 a barrel wouldn't harm the global economy. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley. He believes the oil price is headed towards $100 and beyond because of the surprising strength of the global recovery.
That's pushed up consumption, which has risen by about 1.5 million barrels a day through 2010, and that ultimately has had an upward push on crude prices as people start looking forward to a world recovering from recession.
The rising price of oil is pushing up the cost of goods and services around the world, and that is causing such concern in China that this weekend the Chinese raised their interest rates to slow down the rampant growth in their economy. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So oil prices are bubbling up. Let's check the rest of the numbers. Markets are mixed right now in Europe and Asia. Paris is down about 1%. Tokyo is up about 0.75%. You know what else is up? Perhaps a little too much? The price of concert tickets. Promoters say they were too expensive this year and they'll reduce them in 2011, then try to make up the revenue by boosting sales of T-shirts and other merchandise. Wall Street was closed on Friday, but on Thursday, the Dow gained 14 points. It closed at 11,573. That is the highest closed since August of 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
Well, another Christmas is over, although someone still needs to tell the supermarkets because they're still playing Deck the Halls. As for you, well, you might have a bit of work to do, like getting rid of the tree and all that wrapping paper. But before you chuck it all in the garbage, we've asked our sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill, to join us for some holiday recycling tips. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So all that wrapping paper, can I just throw that in the recycling bin?
Probably. Most places will take plain wrapping paper, but you might want to double check. The foil paper, the shiny, glittery stuff can be a no-go. If you have to toss it, if you didn't rip it all to shreds, you could use it again next year. Or you could get super crafty and make gift tags or fluff for bags, right? Yeah?
I'm not sure I'm going to be that crafty, Adrian, but I get where you're coming from. What about the Christmas tree? What's the best way to get rid of that?
Well, lots of cities and communities have programs where you can bring your tree or they'll pick it up and turn it into mulch. Some parts of the country get a bit more creative. In Louisiana, they use old Christmas trees for coast restoration around the marshes. And if you're in a rural area and have a fish pond, Missouri recommends putting the tree right in the pond. Fish love the little nooks and crannies a tree can provide. But don't toss it in the garbage. Trees can take up a lot of space in landfills, and in some places it's illegal.
All right, so what else you got? What are the other tips to keep this Christmas nice and green?
Well, if you got new shiny gadgets and electronics, don't just toss the old ones. Look for a place that might recycle it, that will take e-waste and repurpose some of the resources that went into making it. Best Buy is now recycling most electronics, no matter where you bought them.
All right, so it's all about repurposing, recycling. What about re-gifting, Adrian? Is that a good thing to do?
It's a great thing to do. Re-gifting is recycling, really. I met a guy named Edward Acosta who said if his kids get two of the same thing, one of those might wind up re-gifted.
My kids, they get some duplicate of the toys and stuff. So what I do is some of them I return it, and some of them my wife said to keep it and re-gifted it to somebody who had a birthday or something.
He says it's worked out pretty well. But, Jeremy, the trick is to keep track of the person who gave you those reindeer socks so you don't actually give them back to that same person.
That could be embarrassing. Yeah. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, while we're on the subject of a green Christmas, listen to this. In the Netherlands, where they've also been getting some wintry weather, the police are getting busy looking for rooftops that are not covered with snow. That, they say, is because a clear roof is a good indication that hot attic lights are on, as in lights for the illegal growing of a certain plant. I don't think that's a corn cob pipe in there. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Nine out of 10 strawberries in this country come from California, and they are delicious. But how do you keep them that way?
You know, if you have some type of pest outbreak in your house, the first thing you do is you pull out some ant spray or something like that.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. New pesticides coming soon to a strawberry near you. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.